The meeting to order at 4 o'clock on Tuesday, August 10th. Just a reminder.
Alexandra, did you see my messages? Okay, all right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Just a reminder, when someone's speaking, to have your microphone on mute. Wave at me or raise your hand and or put a question in the chat. I'll try to monitor those as well. Let's go ahead and do roll call. And then one thing I would ask of our guest speakers today is to also maybe update yourself and who you are right before you start your presentation, just so if the public pops in halfway through, they know who you are. So let's go ahead and my head's in the upper left corner. So I'll start with myself, Kelsey Potter, co-chair of the PAB. Jay, it looks like you're next.
Jay Chester, co-chair PAB.
Alexandra, you're next.
Clark County Public Works, Parks and Lands.
Dave.
Dave Weston, Parks Board.
John.
John Spencer, God of all the good things.
Maybe. Kevin.
Kevin Tyler, interim Parks and Lands Division Manager with Clark County Public Works.
Rocky.
Rocky Houston, the Planning and Development Section Manager for Parks and Lands.
Stacy.
Stacy Kaiser, PAB.
Eric.
Eric Harrison, Program Manager, Parks and Lands.
You and Felix.
Felix Ruhiri, Public Park Board Member.
Thank you, Felix. All right, so just a reminder, be on mute unless you are speaking so we don't get some feedback. All right, so I don't know if everyone is on, has access to the agenda. I have it pulled up on my computer. All the documents are loaded on our PAB page. The meeting minutes are up there. I'll entertain a motion to approve the meeting minutes from June 8th. If someone wants to give me one.
So moved. John Spencer.
By John. Thank you, John. Do I have a second?
David Weston, second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right, and I assume none opposed. One thing I've learned that's kind of handy in my Charter Review Commission meetings is that we can just approve things by unanimous consent. And I think we'll start doing that so we all don't have to unmute and shout aye. And then if there's any objections, you raise your hand and say you object. Just for little things like the meeting minutes and such. All right. Reminder to submit your volunteer hours. I am again behind in those, but it's super easy to go on Vulgistics and do that. So I encourage folks to get those logged. Public comment. Alexandra, did we have any public comment?
Hi there. So I did not receive any public comment through the PAB at clark.wa.gov, but I do show that we have 5 attendees in the queue.
Okay.
So if there are any of those attendees that would like to make a comment during this time, I believe that you can raise your hand and we can manually unmute you.
That would be great. And Alexandra, if we do have that, are you able to run a timer for 3 minutes? For those? Okay.
Yes, perfect. I can do that.
Okay, great. So I'll turn it over to you, Alexandra, to get folks who want to chat in.
Okay. And does anyone want to raise their hand or make a public comment during this time?
And Alex, you know, I'm not sure how familiar everybody might be with WebEx and how that platform works. So if you could give them a quick instruction on how to raise their hand. And if nothing else, maybe just unmute everybody and see if anybody wants to say anything.
Okay. And I think that we have somebody on the line named Kirk, and it looked like maybe you wanted to make a comment. You are unmuted.
I'm just here to observe. Thank you, though.
Okay. So for those of you that are in the attendee queue, you'll be able to see all of the panelists. You may be able to possibly chat with me, the host, but you will not be able to access any chat to the panelists themselves. And then on the bottom of your screen, there should be a mute button grayed out, and then a taskbar on the right where your panelists and attendees are listed, and you should have a hand mark where you can raise your hand. Or an exclamation point requesting attention.
All right. I'm gonna give it going once, twice. All right, I'll assume that there is no further public comment. If you were trying to get in, you can also email us at pav@clark.wa.gov to submit your public comment. But thanks to our guests for joining and listening in this evening. All right, we're gonna go to the manager's report. So I'm gonna turn this over to Kevin, who's gonna talk about parks and lands updates, recruitments, introductions, Camp Bonneville, and the status of capital projects. So all yours, Kevin.
All right, thank you. So to start, we wanted to do a couple of introductions. As we went through the roll call, you heard that Eric Harrison and Rocky Houston are both on the line, and they're new Parks Division employees. So why don't we start with Rocky, and then we'll go to Eric. Rocky, if you could give a little intro about yourself.
Sure, thank you. Kevin, for the record, Rocky Houston, Parks and Lands. Hired on to be the section manager for planning and development. So it's a new formed unit taking on some of the elements for the others. So my background, let's see, over 20 years experience in government. My last stint was as a director of a county park system in Oregon, in rural Oregon, as well as a land manager there. So I've done a lot of acquisition development. Before that, worked at state parks in Oregon for 12 years or so, doing a lot of, as a trails coordinator primarily, doing a lot of project management, regional planning, etc. And yeah, that's me. Thank you.
Thanks, Rocky. And then Eric, if you could go ahead and do the same thing.
Hey, good afternoon. For the record, Eric Harrison, program manager. So I'm the program manager for Camp Bonneville, Luke Jensen, Heritage Farms, and some of our lakes. I also run the program that is responsible for our lifeguards and some of our fee collectors. A little bit about me, my 18 years in management, a lot of that on the federal side and some on the city side. My most recent experience, I come from the city of Portland, Parks and Recreation, where I was a maintenance supervisor. I was in charge of the heavy equipment team. So I did a lot of the capital projects, earthwork, maintenance of our grounds for the entire parks system. So I'm happy to be here. I'm a happy part of the team.
Welcome, thanks, gentlemen. Both of you.
Yeah, thank you. I can't tell you how grateful I am that these two are on board and how much help they've already given me and jumping in and just diving into these issues and projects right away. So it's very nice to have them on board. I also wanted to give you just a quick update on other recruitments in the division. So we are trying to fill our parks planner position, and we've made an offer to a candidate, and that candidate has tentatively accepted. We need to do background checks and a few other things And hopefully I'll be able to make an announcement and an introduction by the time we have our next meeting. We have a few other vacancies in the division, an office assistant that we're working on getting closer to interviews for that position. And then we have a environmental permitting coordinator that Rocky is working on hiring. So he is also gearing up for interviews. Eric is working towards hiring a couple of grounds maintenance employees for his section, and in a similar fashion is heading towards interviews within a little bit, a couple weeks behind probably Rocky, but maybe about the same timeline as me with the office assistant. And then lastly, I think you all know that Pat Lee retired. His last day was last Friday, so we had a nice little goodbye for him. And we'll be attempting to get permission to fill his old position as soon as possible. So, you know, a loss for the county, but we're super happy for Pat and his retirement. Good things for him in the future. All right, so that's it on staffing updates.
Kevin, can I ask about Parks Director?
What I know about that position is that it was advertised prior to Galena leaving and prior to Ahmad asking me to take on the interim role of Parks and Lands Division Manager. I think maybe you've all heard, and if not, I'll let you know right now that Ahmad has also left the county. So within the last few weeks, Ahmad left the county, and Eva Haney, our finance manager, was asked by the county manager to step in as interim. So Eva and I have been trying to get up to speed on all of the parks related projects that are out there. And I have not yet talked with Eva about her plans on how the recruitment is going to work for that position, but I know that it's advertised at least, so that it's one step is underway. And if I have any more updates on that, I'll be sure to let you all know.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so Camp Bonneville Advisory Committee, we initially thought that this would be a good platform to make the announcement about the Camp Bonneville Advisory Committee to make sure that we had another opportunity to advertise that we're accepting applications. The deadline for turning in applications actually came and went last week. So we've received approximately, I want to say 34 applications or letters of interest for the Camp Bonneville Advisory Committee. Committees. We had previously talked about having two. And that does not include for the policy side that there was meant to be at least some membership from Parks Advisory Board, some membership from the Planning Commission, some membership from County Council. So if you consider those additional positions, it could be that there are possibly up to 40 people that are interested in serving in this capacity. So I'm working with Eva. We're gearing up towards some council discussions about this to get their input on next steps. We don't know yet if that's going to be a council time discussion or if it'll be a work session. We'll make sure to get that information out to you when we do know more. And we will also be talking with them about the Camp Bonneville master plan and next steps there. So the two will kind of be a combined discussion. So that's what I know about Camp Bonneville Advisory Committees right now. And then we wanted to give you also a status of capital projects, and Rocky's going to go ahead and take the lead on that.
Thank you, Kevin. Again, for the record, Rocky Houston. So we've got a few projects that are in the hopper getting ready to go out to bid. So the first one I'll talk about is Phillida. So that's the parking lot expansion and small playground. That did go out to bid. We got two bids and they were fairly high, and we had another easement constraint that was not going to make us, we were concerned that we weren't going to be able to meet the deadlines for the construction period. So We've withdrawn or not accepted any of those, and we're going to go back out to bid. The goal there really is to save money and have a complete project so that we don't have any delays or hiccups. So this will go out to construction next spring, summer. In addition, Hawkinson, which is the disc golf course, a little trail there that is in final design and is planned to go out to bid in October. Again, the construction season would be for about a year there. As you guys know better than probably I, it's a loop trail around a section of that park with a little bridge. There's some wetlands to get around. And then, of course, an 18-hole disc golf course. In addition, we've got Curtain Creek. So Curtain Creek is a new park with a large parking lot and some sports fields and sort of a complete community park that has been kicked off. So we're just in the preliminary design phase, working with contractors. We've had our first meeting there. So that'll probably be over the next year, year and a half before we'd be able to go out to construction on that. The Lower Daybreak Trail is just about finalized. So that one was being constructed over the last few months. We just got to have a few interpretive panels to get installed, and then that one will be complete. That one's been going on for a while for everyone. And we've got at Heritage Farm, there's a wetland enhancement project. So that one's just getting kicked off in design. And so that was back a project that came out of the 2018 master planning process. And so there's that creek that's sort of trenched right now that's going to be enhanced for that wetland that it is. As well as the Harmony parking lots had about a year, year and a half sort of pause button that's finally getting through some of the city planning issues there and some of those transportation issues. So that's probably, we're hoping in the next quarter or two, being able to get back in line for design and hopefully get that out to bid for next year, hopefully, fingers crossed. And I think that's all the big ones that I can think of, unless there's other questions you may have.
Hey, Rocky, what's the status of Cozy Camp?
Oh, thanks for reminding me of that one. So yeah. Cozy Camp is at about 90-95% design. There's some easements we're working with the power company that couldn't be contained into the right of way. It's just support a couple power poles. So I think that's the last little glitch, and then that should be going out to bid, I think, in January or February, and construction should start in May.
Thanks, Rocky. Really appreciate it. Any questions on status of those projects? All right. I think that's it for manager's report.
It is, but you're still on the hook now for unfinished business. Park impact fee district presentation. So
great. Thank you. Alex, are you able to share the presentation or turn the controls over to me?
I will turn the controls over to you. Just a moment.
Great, thanks.
You're welcome. There you go.
Okay. I don't know if you can still hear me. I got the spinning wheel of unknown.
We can hear you, Kevin.
Okay. Yeah, Cisco's not responding. So that's perfect timing.
Perfect timing. We don't have any visual, but we have audio. And again, folks can pull it up on the PABS website, the presentation posted.
I think
there.
I got it now. Are you able to see it now?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so. Of course, my notes are gone. Hold on 1 second. Let me see if I can rearrange things. Okay, are you still able to see the presentation?
Yes.
Okay, great. So we discussed park impact fees and concurrency in District 7 on a couple of occasions in the past. It was identified by staff as an issue in a couple of park impact fee districts, and both those were 6 and 7. And our former planner had done a bunch of research, and we prepared some information, and we found that, you know, the Curtain Creek project would address PIF concurrency in District 6, so we really just needed to focus our efforts on District 7. And we started by evaluating some properties in the district. And if you're, for those of you who are, I'll get to a map here in a second. Yeah, so PIF District 7 is in the sort of heart of Vancouver, north of unincorporated Vancouver, north of State Route 500. And so we evaluated 8 properties and discussed those with Parks Advisory Board. I think it was earlier this year, in February, that's right. And then we came back and discussed more in June. And essentially what we had decided at the time was we were going to try to attempt to, you know, make contact with all those property owners and see if there was interest in potentially an acquisition for a future park. Alexandra from our staff reached out, attempted. We were able to reach 3 of the property owners, and one additional property owner that at least answered the phone, I guess, was the start, right? So 4 potential property owners that that we then have attempted to confirm interest since that last time. I'm just going to go to the map now and show you what those 4 properties are. So numbers 3, 4, 7, and 8, we've been advised not to really get into details about who owns these properties and to focus on their location and meeting the needs of, future neighborhood park in the district. So I can tell you that after discussions or attempting to reach these 4 property owners again, just to reconfirm, number 7 has essentially entered into an agreement with a private developer for that property. So that leaves properties 4, 8, and 3. And I've been playing phone tag with a couple of these and have heard nothing back from the other one. So I think at this point we are a little bit challenged in next steps, but this is essentially what I'm proposing as our next steps would be to continue to attempt to reach those 3 property owners that are still out there, and originally had expressed some at least interest in talking about it, and then send letters to the other properties where contact was not made, and expand our search to include other properties in the district that might fill a need. We want to focus our acquisition on where a gap in services exists. Because if we go back to this map, you'll notice a couple of the properties that were identified, property number 1, number 8, and even somewhat number 4, are close to existing neighborhood parks. So do they really fit the need of a gap in service, providing properties throughout the district that people can walk to? And, you know, my argument would be that no, they don't. So we want to focus our acquisition where there's a gap, where existing gaps occur. And what I'd like to do, since there's so much going on in parks, is to ask our planner when that position starts and is hired and onboarded, have that person work with Rocky on acquisition in District 7. We have budget set up for next year to acquire a property in District 7. And when we have a little bit more solid information, we'd like to bring that back to Parks Advisory Board for input on, again, an acquisition that'll meet a gap in our service needs. And with that, any questions, comments, suggestions at this point?
Kevin, can we look at the map really fast?
Yes.
I have something. This is Dave. Number one, I think it's important that we remember that we were originally, my understanding was only looking for possibly an access easement from that stub that's to the west.
Right.
I go to that park a fair amount. It's a pretty nice park, but access is extremely difficult from the west side. It's like a half street where the street's always full of cars. And I mean, if it was possible to get some kind of access off of that street, whether an easement or, you know, some kind of purchase, it would be extremely beneficial. And that northern end it does have some wetlands and critical areas, so it's not really developable. I know the property owners put a lot of money into the property lately. So if you're just calling and asking to like buy their property, they're probably not interested.
Right.
But if it's right. The part to the north that they're not really going to be able to use anyways, you know, it might be something you could work out.
No, I remember some conversations about this from the past and even had some meetings out on the site with, I think it was the property owner. It might've been a neighbor, but just discussing the possibility of access through there, because there was a thought of, you know, trail connection between this property and our large stormwater wetland tract to the west there. So, you know, this is an opportunity where if we could acquire an easement or access a small portion of the property, we can spend down a little bit of that park impact fee district 7, avoid concurrency in the near term, and give us more time to plan and really look for something that's going to meet our needs in the district. So thanks, Dave. That's a really good idea.
Hey, Kevin. Kevin, can you hear me?
Yeah. Is this Barb?
Oh, good. Oh, yes. I've got access problems. What is the status of the relationship with the church that was going to allow access and also use of their soccer fields, I think it was?
All Saints.
I'm trying to visualize.
Are you talking about All Saints Episcopal Church?
I don't know. It was just when you're at the fire station, it's the one over to the right.
I'm not sure.
I know that there was some talk about they wanted to negotiate us using their parking area. This was a while ago. And my memory may be failing a little, but it seemed to me that that was a win-win situation that would alleviate access into the park there.
You know, I'm not sure. I'll have to give you a call on the side and see if we can work
okay.
through it together and look at some maps or something like that. Because I'm not sure.
Yeah, because I'm out here looking at a couple of handouts for the meeting, and I'm not with you. I just hate this WebEx. You know,
I feel you. It's difficult.
Meetings. Yeah, I got on the last three meetings, no problem. And now we're back to I can't do nothing. I do think that's such a beautiful park. I'd like to see easier access.
Yeah, I'll give you a call, Barb.
Okay, we'll chat later. Thanks.
Yep.
My comment was going to be, this is the reason why we need to expand or condense our PIFs into three big PIF districts. So we quit getting into pickles like this, where we're narrowed down into pieces of property that don't really fit what we're looking for, but we have to spend money or we're in concurrency. And we've been kicking this can down the road for the last 6 years. And I think this is maybe an example of why the county needs to really get serious about looking into that. Because I wanna be a good user of PIF fees. And I don't wanna just buy property for the sake of buying property that increases maintenance costs for county parks, when it really doesn't fit our vision and it doesn't really help certain neighborhoods. And so, you know, I really, really encourage, I know park staff is short-staffed as always. I know we're in constant turnover right now, but that would be my one plea is please let's start looking into this because, I mean, we want to be excited about park properties we're buying
right. That
bring value to the community and not ones that we just have to buy because we have money.
Kelsey, I think another point is once the acquisition only funds are used, I don't think that it'll be as hard to use up the monies or whatever you want to say when we can actually use it to build some of these. I mean, we have lots of property in all these districts. We just have no money to build.
Very good point, Dave. Very good point. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you both. These are great points.
So, Kevin, what I'm hearing from you is this is sort of a come back and revisit again once we have more information to sort of move forward.
Yeah, it's a work in progress for sure.
Okay. Well, thank you for keeping us updated on that. Any other questions for Kevin on the park or District 7 TIF fees properties? All right, well, we're just flying through this meeting, everyone. So we'll turn it back over to Kevin for Cedars Golf Course work session and debrief.
All right. Let me stop sharing. I mean, I want to share. I just don't want to share that anymore. Okay, so we wanted to give you an update on Cedars Golf Course and the work session that we had with council a few weeks ago. You know, I think overall it was a good discussion with council. There was almost unanimous support for continuing to look at what we called alternative one, which was buying everything except for the sort of developable property in the uplands where the clubhouse is. So all of the lowlands that essentially make up the golf course, the property alongside the Chilachi Rail Trail, Rail With Trail corridor, and also up to and including, there's a maintenance shed on the property that would be useful for future maintenance if we did acquire the property. So there was general support about what portions of the property we would consider if we did go forward with an acquisition. Council also requested that we do community outreach specific to this project because it's in the city of Battleground, because there are properties adjacent to it that are, people that live right up against the golf course that, you know, they bought property because they are next to a golf course and it's a great place to live. So we met internally within the last couple of weeks to develop a public outreach plan with our communications team. And that plan could essentially include attending a Battleground City Council meeting, a heads up mailer that will go out to the community, a website with information about the acquisition, potential acquisition, social media, and then an email address where people can send comments. And, because of our time with council at the work session, there's already been a lot of people who are reaching out to, they've been reaching out to Pat before he left and reaching out to counselors. So, you know, I think what we're hoping to do is get some time with council in the next couple of weeks in one-on-ones to confirm this approach for public outreach and then get to it. In the meantime, we've also requested a work session with council about the conservation areas acquisition plan. And I won't steal any of Chad's thunder in terms of what's coming next, what he's going to show you. But we want to take the conservation areas acquisition plan the next step, which is a work session with council, and get try to get through that discussion with council so we can eventually take it to them for adoption, which would include that priority list of projects that you all ranked and prioritized for acquisition and use of existing conservation futures dollars. So that's it on Cedars. Any questions?
Of course, I always have questions, Kevin.
Yes.
Jay, do you want to ask or do you want to go first?
Go ahead.
All right. So this might seep into Chad's presentation a bit, but is the council planning on using Conservation Futures funds for CEDAR, or is this another magical pot of money that I don't know about to purchase this CEDAR chunk?
Discussions have surrounded the use of Conservation Futures dollars for the property that encompasses the golf course. In our communication about this project, we know that we can't acquire the clubhouse using Conservation Futures dollars because it's not a conservation use essentially. So, but the area adjacent to the creek and wetlands, and you know, that would be a use that would be consistent with Conservation Futures and the state laws around that.
So is the golf course part of the wetlands or part of the lowlands that you're talking about purchasing with those funds?
Yeah, the golf course kind of runs all through that area. So it runs along Salmon Creek in a lot of portions. There are some ponds, and I mean, maybe you've played it and you're familiar with the golf course.
Yeah, a little bit.
But it essentially fits really well with the overall view of conservation areas in the conservation areas acquisition plan, high priority acquisitions. It's adjacent to a property that we already own out there,
right?
The Salmon Morgan Creek property, and you know, provides that connection to the future possibility of the Chilachi Rail with Trail.
Yeah, I worked on a grant for the Chilachi Trail and along the railroad. The only hiccup was there was some right-of-way issues, but I don't think acquiring this property would solve that problem. I think it's up farther up in the trail, but we would not acquire the clubhouse, but we would acquire the maintenance shed, which I guess is down a little ways to the left of the clubhouse. Is that kind of the thinking right now?
Yes.
And what happens with the clubhouse? Is that up for auction to somebody or whoever the current owner is?
The clubhouse and the property that was up, you know, in the uplands, more developable property, yeah, would remain with the property owner, and you know, they would do with it what they
want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. We would not be running another golf course, right?
That is not the plan. Of course, you know, that's not my decision to make, and that's something that has to go to council for. But that hasn't been part of the discussion to this point.
Well, they don't. That it's a, since the redesign, it's a very poorly maintained and run golf course. So I don't think that's a very viable option for anybody right at the moment. So, okay, that was my questions.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Kevin on CEDARs? So I'm sorry, Kevin, next step is it tied to what Chad's gonna tell us or?
Yeah,
what are the next steps for CEDARs?
The next steps are twofold. One is requesting time with council in kind of like council one-on-ones to confirm the approach on public outreach specific to this project. And then the other next step that we've already taken is requesting a work session with council that's broader scoped for the conservation areas acquisition plan.
Yes. Okay. That's right. Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Are you good? Are you good on that?
I think I'm good on that. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. All right, Chad, you want to introduce yourself and take the floor on Conservation Futures financial forecast?
Sure thing. My name is Chad Dragon. I am in the finance division of Clark County Public Works and am the finance liaison, if you will, for Parks and Lands Division, as well as a couple of the others, Clean Water. And today I'm going to present basically just a your average 6-year forecast detailing the financials. And it does look like my screen came up. You can see an Excel file, I take it.
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay, perfect. Good. So yeah, what I'm showing you here, this is a 6-year forecast that basically projects out, you know, the fund balance that's sitting in the Clark County Conservation Futures Fund that's, you know, available for acquisitions. And the way the forecast is broken out is just very simply, what we have up here is the beginning fund balance. This is the accumulation of resources available for use, you know, over the years since the fund's inception. That's what we had, a little bit over 11 million accumulated at the end of 2019. 2020 actuals here, county closed the books several months ago on 2020. So as you can see, the revenues here, really the main source is the property tax levy. And we had just a little bit of grant revenue coming in on the Mason Creek and Lower Daybreak projects. Not much else to speak of, really, just, you know, some interest and such. But down here is all of the expenditures. And, you know, as you can see, we're still servicing debt on both the 2018 bonds, and there are some older bonds from 2012 that make up that that $1 million payment that we made. Most of it going to those older bonds, and, you know, a little bit of it going to the 2018 bond issuance. And as of January 1st of this year, we had about 4.6 million left of that 2018 bond issuance to spend on acquisitions. 2020 looks like we just saw one acquisition for, you know, the CJ Den's property up by Lacamas Lake. And then that, you know, that takes us down back into 2021 up here. And for the current year, we really just use the budgeted figures because, you know, it's kind of hard to extrapolate things out, you know, based on the actual. So probably a little more accurate and standard to just use the budget figures. Some interesting items in here that we have for, you know, on the revenue side. For the Mason Creek project, Clean Water Division has agreed to contribute $300,000 towards what I would think is an acquisition. And so we have that budgeted. We do have some significant grant activity going on. We actually have close to $300,000 in progress right now being billed. So, you know, that's gonna add nicely to the padding that we have to use, you know, to fund the development of those projects. And down here in the expenditures, we're really only looking, and this was all hashed out with Pat Lee before he left, really only looking at Mason Creek, you know, an acquisition. You know, forgive me if what I'm saying may not match up exactly with what the folks who are actually doing the work, you know, talk about, because, you know, all I see are, you know, numbers, and I put these numbers in my forecast. So, this is what Pat Lee told me, you know, we'd probably be, sending through in 2021. 2022 is where it gets really interesting, though, because, you know, there's quite a few on the list here, and this whole gray section is the acquisitions. For the bond, the properties that were part of the bond issuance, we're looking at, you know, quite a few that we could probably see closing in 2022 sometime. You know, like this one here, Lewis River Ranch. Pat gave me some notes on that. I guess we don't really have too much on that one, but, you know, East Fork Lewis Optimist, that could also close. And then, of course, the Cedars Golf Course that we were just talking about. These are the projects down here, the ones that the PAB has, you know, ranked in order. So Horseshoe Falls and Cedars Golf Course, we're realistically looking at 2022 for those to go through. And then, you know, Columbia River Shoreline and Ridgefield Pits, maybe a little bit farther out. And these outer years here, 2024 through 27, I really don't have a whole lot of data because, you know, for acquisitions anyway, because it's just not something that has been discussed. We're really looking at the next couple of years, you know, as far as something I can, you know, accurately say might happen in, you know, in those years. So that's basically what we're looking at here. Another little feature that I added into this forecast is, you know, according to the ERCW, we can use up to 25% of the total prior year's property tax levy for maintenance and operations of the properties, conservation feature properties, if certain conditions are met, and the county has definitely met those conditions. And so I just calculated each year here to show that we're probably going to be using quite a bit less than the 25% limit on maintaining those properties, but we can use up to 25%. So that's basically it. I wondered if anybody had any questions.
So what I immediately see is 2.8 million in ongoing property tax levies. Yep. And 1.8 million in ongoing bond funds and legacy and maintenance and ops, which leaves $1 million coming in every year, which is roughly 10 million bucks if we bond it. And my immediate question is, how come we're not doing another bond?
Well, that's not something that that has been discussed, and I wouldn't have an answer for you. I don't know if Kevin can speak to that.
Yeah, I can attempt to speak to it. And I think the main reason, John, is that we are still working on the previous bond.
The last one.
Yeah, so the 2018 bond was issued very early in the year, and, you know, we've been working towards some of those acquisitions. We've had a few of them fall off because of unwilling landowners, right? When conservation features purchases properties, it's a willing buyer, willing seller program. So if either party disagrees with the negotiation, they walk. And so we've had that happen on a couple of projects, which is why we brought replacement projects before Parks Advisory Board for ranking again. And we hope to continue to move those forward. So you see some of those in this analysis, making the assumption that they're essentially going to eventually be approved by council, and we can start actioning the acquisition of those projects. That's all subsequent to council action, of course. But so that's the short answer to the, maybe it was kind of a long-winded answer, but.
No, that, I think that's a valid answer, actually. And I think part of the answer that you should have added is, hey, lay off, we're short on staff and we can't handle another bond right now. But that said, for my part, you know, based on this, I think we should be looking at another bond sale in, you know, next year or at least 2023, because, you know, our job is not to let money sit there. Our job is to get out there and get parks.
Yeah, I know the Yakult Burn Forest, I think, was one of them that fell off, just to add to what Kevin said.
Yeah.
Oh, but from when we put it, because I was looking through the rankings and I noticed that one was missing, and I feel like we ranked that high. So DNR pulled that one.
Yeah, unfortunately, we heard from the Columbia Land Trust recently that negotiations have ceased with the landowner, which is Weyerhaeuser, as you know. So the phase one and phase two of those projects is something that's not going to move forward at this time. And I think that was the initial project that we had on the list was about $1 million contribution. And then the phase two would have been another contribution as well. So those are both no longer there.
Yeah.
Got it. All right, any other questions, comments for Chad on Conservation Futures? Okay, thank you, Chad, for that update.
You're welcome.
All right, Jay, do you want to take over PAB retreat postponement, or do you want me to do it?
Sure. The thought process was that since we've had so many changes in the staffing of the county retreat, or the county, and Public Works and Director was the proponent of this event, we kind of thought, Kelsey and I discussed, and I thought that it'd probably be best to postpone this until more positions are filled and we have kind of we can develop an agenda that would help us get moving forward. Kelsey, anything else you want to put into that?
No, pretty much just to echo what you said with an interim parks director, an interim public works director. We feel like their input would be key to helping us shape the PAB's priorities moving forward for the next few years. So just putting that on hold, and unless other PAB members have really strong objections about moving forward with it. So thoughts, comments from you guys?
Me.
Well, man, yeah, that's kind of what we took away from it too. So
I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't want to ask any. Go ahead, Barbara.
Oh, I was just reiterating to give you some support that it's totally logical that we wait till new leadership is in place. Do we have any ETA on that? I haven't even seen anything posted.
No, we don't have any ETA on that, Barb. We know that the parks manager position has been advertised. I don't have an update on the public works director position other than our interim Eva Haney was planning on coming today and attending this meeting. Something came up. So we'll try to get her at the next meeting and get you all introduced to her.
Yeah. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. And new business. Right now, we don't really have anything on the agenda. Did anything pop up, Kevin, that you need to share right away?
No, I don't think so. Nothing. You know, we're just continuing to get up to speed on stuff that was in process. And you know, we hope to have some information to share with you regarding the Parks Recreation Open Space Plan soon. Rocky's diving into that. And so hopefully by the next meeting, we'll be able to get that on the agenda.
Okay. Good luck with that one, Rocky. Okay.
Can I ask where we are on the Heritage Farm? You know, I went to that one meeting and it was very enlightening and exciting. Ahmad assured us at that meeting that we weren't getting together just to rehash everything we've hashed over since 2012 was the first meeting I went to on it, and that we were going to actually do something and it would be soon. And I have not heard one peep from that group since. Do you know anything about what's going on, Kevin?
Yeah, I can give you an update on the Heritage Farm business plan.
Well, maybe when you call me, you can do that.
Yeah, I mean, I can give you kind of a high level overview right now if everybody is interested in that. So we've been working with Washington State University Extension, the Metro Center, and they're out of a different extension office than locally. And so we've been trying to define the scope of work of this business planning effort that they're going to do through a memorandum of understanding. So we're nearing completion of that memorandum of understanding. The work hasn't necessarily ceased just because we're defining that relationship. The business, the Metro Center is continuing to work on portions of the business plan. They are meeting with a couple of our staff in the next week or so to start discussing the operations plan, which is a component of their phase one deliverable of the business plan. And then they're bringing in some additional staff from other extension offices, and we'll be having a meeting to discuss next steps with them in the near future. So slowly but surely it's taking shape, and I would anticipate that you'll see more about that in the near future. Rocky is going to be our lead on the business planning effort moving forward. So if you have questions, you can always reach out to him.
Okay. Yeah, I expected at least some status email or something to come out. And it's been like just silence.
Yeah,
Rocky gets all the fun projects.
Yeah, he does. He does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you're all just sitting around doing nothing. Yeah, yeah, I know you're just swamped, but I'm just excited about a path forward with that. So, thanks,
Barb.
Okay, I'll consider that the beginning of roundtable discussion. If anyone else has any questions, general park questions, comments, check-ins, unmute yourself and share. Okay, we're so quiet. Do you remember when we used to sit around a table and now we're on screens and we want to wave goodbye as fast as possible? One thing Jay and I had kind of thrown at each other, and I would like to get your guys' input on it maybe before we talk about it more in depth, is, you know, with Alexandra and Kevin filling in interim positions with a lot of vacant positions, it's hard to get, they're treading water. It's hard to get a full agenda. I mean, we usually meet till 6, it's 4:55. We were thinking maybe till a full-time parks director is in. If we don't have enough to fill a 2-hour meeting, would you like us to see, would you prefer to do like 1-hour meetings in the interim? Because that's what the last 3 or 4 have kind of been, is close to 1 hour. Or would you prefer to maybe do every other month fuller agendas that go 2 hours? Anyone have a preference, thoughts, comments?
Well,
no one. Okay, well, the king queen will decide. Oh, one. Okay. Go ahead, John.
No one. Well, I think the time lag of a 2-month interval, I wouldn't want anything to be held up waiting for our approval on something. I'm totally fine with every other month, but knowing that everybody's willing to jump in for a meeting should Kevin need us to give him approval of anything.
Okay, John, you froze on me before Barbara spoke. What were you saying? Something similar? No, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Do you hear me?
I can now, yeah.
Okay, what I was going to say is I prefer to meet monthly if we can, just because it keeps the system going. Mm-hmm. And if it's just an hour meeting, you know, I like short meetings.
I'm with you on that one. Okay. Well, I just didn't know if this is totally inconvenient, everyone, for, you know, meeting for an hour. But if you're okay with it, let's just keep the status quo, have shorter meetings. But Kevin and staff, please don't feel like you have to just fill the agenda for us just for the sake of filling time, I guess, is what I want the takeaway for you guys to be. Like, you know, we definitely want to be in the know and have all, you know, actual information, but don't feel like you have to. I don't want the focus of your work right now while you're short-staffed to be entertaining the Parks Advisory Board, so.
Yeah, we're in support of you guys, so if you need our support, that's fine.
No, that's fair. You know, we'll try to balance the, you know, the information that we want to share with you versus things that we really truly need action on, and try to make the best use of your time. Now that Rocky's on board, Eric's on board, we have our maintenance manager on board, I think we'll be able to take some projects forward and get action. So that'll help, I think, in the next couple of months.
I do have one other thing, Kelsey. Is she there?
Oh, yeah, go ahead. And when you're done, we have a comment or a question from someone who's in attendance about Curtain Creek. But you go first.
Well, I was going to say, Delian, do you want to talk about the Park Foundation golf tournament, the fundraiser for the foundation?
Yeah, yes, thank you. Actually, I was going to do that. Our golf tournament is coming up. It's September 10th. So if you'd like to join us with the team, we'd love to have you. I also wanted to let you know that all of our grant requests are in. We have a grant request from Camas for a sand volleyball court, Washougal for a new slide at Lower Hathaway Park for a new play structure there. Ridgefield has a request in for the Ron Onslow Natural Nature Play Area in Abrams Park. We have a grant request in for Harper's Playground. And we also have a grant request in from Camp Hope for some roofing repair because some of their buildings are pretty dilapidated and need some roofing. We have three program requests in this year. It's Battleground Summer Playground Program, Clark County is Camp Hope, which has been one both of those we've done for a long time. And then Vancouver has the Teen Late Night grant request in again as well. So we have quite a list of grants in this year. We will get them approved at the board meeting next week and move them forward if they're all approved. I don't know that there won't be any approved. There might be some questions about the Camp Hope roof repair, just because that's not generally something we've done, but it certainly falls within our purview, I think. And then lastly, I don't know if you know, but we put on an event called Booville. And last year we had to pivot to Vancouver Mall as a drive-through event, but this year we have been invited back again, and it's going to be an indoor event, and we're expecting up to 3,000 kids this year. So it should be a pretty fun event. It's quite a jump from 500 kids to 3,000, but we will hopefully get there, and we've got about 10 tables already filled. So if somebody is interested in coming, we'd love to have you. The Vancouver Parks and Rec Department is coming. We have Camp Hope coming. We have PALS are probably going to be there. These are just the nonprofits. We have for-profit businesses that are attending as well. So anyway, it should be a fun event. But yes, the golf tournament is coming up quickly. It's September 10th, and the early bird registration is through next Monday. So if you're going to sign up, now's the time to do it. And thank you very much, Jay. I appreciate you getting me there.
Thanks, Dylan. Anyone else for good of the order roundtable discussion before I ask Jim's question regarding Curtain? I always mix up Springs and Creek. It's Creek. No, we good? Okay, I'm going to read his question. I'm going to bumble about into the chat to try to find it. Okay. His question, this is probably for Kevin. If Curtain Creek is at least a year and a half out, does that endanger PIF or other funding? I don't want to speak for Kevin, but I would assume not, because we're not in close to concurrency.
Well, you're both correct, and so we're correct. You're correct in that it's not in danger, because as we work on the design of Curtain Creek, we're spending money against that PIF district. So every step that we take towards development, you know, paying consultants bills to design the project team was working on it, we essentially get reimbursed from that park impact fee district. And so that spends down the money. Chad can correct me if I'm wrong, because he's the finance guy, but I think that's how I understand it. So
yeah, the more that you've got it right.
Okay. The more that we do that, the further we push off concurrency. So that's essentially why we're not in danger of the funding being an issue, as it just takes time to work through the process of developing a park. So we're in the preliminary design now. That'll go through a land use review process with the county. Then we'll do final engineering. Then we'll put it out to bid. And that just, you know, that takes a year, year and a half to get through that process. So that's what's going on with Curtin Creek. Hope that answers Jim's question.
I think it did. I'm not a mind reader, but it seemed pretty good. Yeah. Oh, he says it does in the chat. Okay. Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks for the question, right. Jim.
Yeah, it's not, I'll say it's nice having the public be able to access this meeting a lot easier and see the presentation. And I really want to thank park staff for making those adjustments to make it more accessible to the public, because it doesn't look like we'll be meeting in person anytime soon if we're kind of following the county council's leadership on that. So, all right. I'm gonna close it out unless someone unmutes and has something to say.
Kelsey, I just want to add and say thank you for bringing that up, continuing to bring that up, that, you know, getting the public more involved. And thank you, Alex, for taking the steps to do that. I think you're right. It's good that we can try to get people more involved in these. And so if we can, if you have other ideas, let us know and we'll see what we can do.
Thank you, Alexandra, for working on that, because you were definitely the catalyst on the tech side to get it all set up for us.
I'm sorry it took so long, but hopefully moving forward, we can have better participation.
Yeah, thank you. All right, guys. Well, I'm going to call it adjourned at 5:07. We will see you next month in September. So thank you, everyone. Have a good night.
Thanks all.
Thank you all.
Thanks, you too.
Bye.